Did y'all hear the news today about they found an ancient, listen, I'm serious. They found an ancient remedy to the coronavirus. Did y'all? I mean, it's all over the news. How could y'all not? What did she say? Because we don't listen to the news. We don't believe that report. They did. They found it, and they found this manuscript that had the remedy. And I downloaded it and I printed it out. I want to read it to you. Amen? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprises and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible, in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels a special charge over you, to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Now let's make this personal. Let's make this personal for each one of us. Because we have set our love upon God, therefore will He deliver us. God will set us on high because we know and understand His name as a personal knowledge of His mercy, His love, and kindness. We trust and rely on Him, knowing that He will never forsake us. No, never. We shall call upon Him and He will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us with long life. Will He satisfy me and show me His salvation? That's my God. That's right. That is my God. Hallelujah. That is who my God is. Do you believe it today? Because that is what you can trust and rely in. That is the report that you can believe today. Amen? Now, there's some qualifiers to that. You have to understand that you got to believe and be in the first two verses of that to receive all the benefits of it. What are those verses? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under His shadow. And we must say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I will lean on and rely and trust in Him. And if we do that, if we're in that secret place, if we are there, if He is our fortress, if He is our high tower, and we claim Him, then all of those benefits apply to us. And we don't have to live in fear. Amen? That is what the Word of God says. Read it for yourself. Trust in what His Word says. Make up your mind today to stand and be in the shadow of the Almighty, to rest in that rest hidden in that place of refuge under His wings. And then what does it say? Man, you gotta invoke your angels. It says, for He will give His angels charge over you. His angels have charge of you to accompany you. They're with you. To defend you. To preserve you. My goodness. Come on, people. We have got to get to a place of understanding and where that we know that God is God. We got to know that Jesus died for me and you. We got to get to a place where we are so rock solid in that nothing can move us. Nothing can move. I don't care if you see 1,000 dying right beside you or 10,000 at your right hand. It doesn't matter. That's where your faith has to be. What is the victory that overcomes this world and everything that is in it? Your faith. Your faith in what? Your faith that God is true and His Word is true. Your faith in Jesus and He died for you. That is my God. I got some righteous anger rising up inside of me. Did y'all sense it today? I'm not saying the time is coming. I'm saying the time is here. That we need to rise up. If you call yourself a born-again believer, if you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you call Him the Messiah, then we need to start acting like that. We need to trust what this word says that we just read. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, glory. Y'all believe that? Y'all didn't see that on the news today? Well, it should have been there. It should have been there. We have to have that rock solid faith where we can't be moved regardless of what we see before us. I mean, I'm telling you, people are counting on you. People are counting on you to stand in your faith. And they're watching you. Man, they know you're a Christian. They're watching. Oh, well, how are they going to respond to this? Are they going to cower and fade like everyone else? Or are they going to actually stand up for what they say they believe in? Amen. Faith without works is dead. Amen. Well, that's sermon number one. How many enjoyed Pastor Brian last week and took that to heart about repositioning yourself? Repositioning yourself, I say back before God, back to God, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's reposition ourselves back in front of God. Back. Let's get ourselves in alignment with God. Right? Does that sound familiar? Get in alignment with our assignment. Get in alignment with God. We need to get God back involved in our stuff, y'all. Can I put it that way? We need to get God back involved in our stuff. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Glory to God. Be still and know that I am God. He is God. Is there anything too hard for God? No. No. Mark chapter 16. We got to get back. Reposition ourselves back in front of God. Align ourselves with His Word. And get Him involved in our stuff. Mark chapter 16 verse 20 says this. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them. While the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. The Lord kept working with them. It's the Lord. doing the work. It's not necessarily you and me. And we'll get to that in a minute, what our role is. But you got to understand it's the Lord doing the work. It's the Lord doing the work. And that takes some pressure off of us sometimes. Because we know that in another place in Scripture says, apart from the vine, we can do nothing, right? Jesus being the vine. Apart from the vine, we can do nothing. We can do nothing without the Lord working with us. So if you've been trying to do it on your own all this time, what kind of results have you been getting? Some good, maybe some bad, some indifferent. But I'm telling you, we need to get the Lord involved in the work. And that's when we'll see a difference. Does anybody know what the letter I in math means? Come on, you college mathematicians. Imaginary. Yeah? She got you on that one. I'm going to speak to the left side over there. It means that it's an imaginary number. It's an imaginary number. The letter I, the little letter I in math means it's an imaginary number. Anybody ever see that movie Proof with Gwyneth Paltrow back in 2005? Someone tell me they saw that movie. Oh, man. Well, good. I could tell you anything about it and you'll believe it. Gwyneth Paltrow, right? Her father's a famous mathematician. She has the gift of mathematics. If I don't know if I can say it like that. She has the gift her father had, and she's working on this proof, a mathematical proof. And she gets down to the bottom, and this is the climactic scene, right? She comes up and she says, "I is real." Y'all, I know y'all aren't getting this because you. Let me just write it up here. Let me help you. I, the letter I, is real. So her proof stated that I is real. It's really imaginary, okay? And it's a movie. But I is real. It's like the M&M commercial. When they see Santa Claus. And they say, "He is real!" And he says, "They are real!" And they both pass out. It's kind of like that. See, y'all knew that. You can handle that reference, right? Basically, it's any number that when you square it, it yields a negative number. We're going to get into some high math today. Y'all ready? So, you know, friends, what is the square root of 4? Let's start easy. 2. 4, 16. What's the square root of 16? 25. What's the square root of negative 25? Oh. Yeah, it is. Square root of 25 equals 5. We got that. Square root of negative 25 equals 5. Ah. What in the world does this got to do with anything? Y'all are wondering, I know. I'm trying to show you that just like in math, the letter I that is imaginary, in ministry, the letter I should be imaginary. What do I mean by that? To quote the late, great Kobe Bryant, there is no I in team. Help me finish it, Reggie. Because there is an M and an E still in that word, right? There is still an M and an E. Me, Kobe Bryant. Oh, dear Lord. But there is no I in ministry. There should be no I in ministry. Well, okay, there's two I's in ministry. Okay. That didn't go well. There's two I's. Okay. There shouldn't be an I in ministry. Okay. There shouldn't be an I in ministry. Why? Because the Lord is the one ministering. He's working with us. Amen. I should have moved this closer. This is too much walking for me. See, now I got to walk back here. Whew, I'm sweating. Here's it. All right, look, more math, and this will be the last one, all right? I'm making it easy on you guys. What's 2 plus 5? Did she get it right? All right. Well, you're wrong. It equals 5,000. This is called Jesus math, y'all. Two fish, five loaves, 5,000. Huh? All right, so it doesn't equal 5,000, right? But that's my point, is I does not equal Jesus. Last time I checked, you are not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. I does not equal Jesus. I does not equal Jesus. But we got to get him involved, just like the disciples did. They got him involved. He was working with them. And then they saw all the wonderful works, signs, wonders, miracles. How many of us have been trying to do it on our own? On our own. Do y'all want to hear a list of all the miracles that Jesus did? Yes. Thank you, Reggie. I appreciate your support. The miracles of Jesus. Now, you just kind of picture yourself. Could you be doing these things? Well, maybe. Let's see. He turned the water into wine. For all you wine lovers, you're grateful for that one verse in the Bible. The party kept going, baby. The party was about to end. And they said, Jesus, you got to do something. We want to continue to party, man. Go get them vats full of water. Bring them to them. Water to wine. Then he heals the official's son at Capernaum in Galilee. He drives out an evil spirit from a man in Capernaum. He heals Peter's mother-in-law, sick with a fever. Y'all been around people with fevers? We'll leave that one there. Let's see, he heals the sick and oppressed at evening. He catches the fish and he tells them where to fish in the lake. He cleanses a man with leprosy. He heals the centurion's paralyzed servant. He heals the paralytic who was let down from the roof. He heals a man with a withered hand. He raises the widow's son from the dead. He calms the storm at the sea. He casts demons into a herd of pigs. He heals a woman in the crowd with the issue of blood. He raises Jairus' daughter back to life. He heals two blind men. He heals a man who is unable to speak. He heals an invalid at Bethesda. He feeds 5,000, 5 plus 2. Plus women and children. He walks on water. He heals the sick with the touch when they touch his garment. He heals a Gentile woman, demon possessed. He heals a deaf and dumb man. He feeds 4,000 after the 5,000. He heals a blind man at Bethsaida. Heals a man born blind by spitting in his eyes. He heals a boy with an unclean spirit. He finds miraculously some money to pay his taxes out of a fish's mouth. He heals the blind, mute, demoniac. He heals a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. He heals a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. He cleanses 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. He raises Lazarus from the dead. He restores sight to blind Bartimaeus in Jericho. He withers the fig tree on the road from Bethany. He heals a servant's severed ear while he is being arrested. And they had a second miraculous catch of fish at the Sea of Tiberias. Just the miracles that Jesus performed while he walked on this earth. Could you, in and of yourself, do any of those miracles? Do you have faith in you to do any of those miracles today? Huh? We'd go down to Clater Lake, see how many fish you can catch. You could walk right out to the middle of the lake and start fishing. Right? Right? Unless Jesus is working with us, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. I am changing, I believe, the entire way that I minister to people. I'm taking the I out of it. You know, Jesus, Pastor Brian said, I don't think he's Jesus, y'all, all right? Just, that wasn't a Freudian slip. Pastor Brian said when he was here, we ought to be saying, what can Jesus do? You know, what can Jesus do for you? WCJD, what can Jesus do for you? Saul, I remember when you went down to see your son at church and you went up to the altar and that young lady said, what can I do for you? I'm changing my approach on how I minister to people. I'm going to start saying, what can Jesus do for you? Because I can't do anything for you. What can Jesus do for you? What can I pray with you about? What can Jesus pray with you about? Doesn't the Word say that He is ever making intercession for us on our behalf?
Yes.
How can Jesus pray for you today? That's how I'm going to start ministering to people. What can Jesus do for you? What can He do for you? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. What can Jesus do for you today? He can break every chain. I know that.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, and let's start in verse 31. I'll be reading out of the Amplified, Tim. How can Jesus pray for you today? Verse 31 says, He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all other things? What does it say? With Him? With Him? Let me back up. I started in 32. 31. What then shall we say to all this? Oh, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all other things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to Himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as He intercedes for us? How can Jesus pray for you today? How can Jesus intercede for you today? Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? You need to get a hold of this. Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation and the coronavirus or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded as and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, beyond doubt, we need to be beyond doubt. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Intercession. He is ever making intercession. That is the action of intervening on behalf of another. He is intervening on our behalf. How can Jesus pray for you today? What can Jesus do for you today? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Very familiar scripture. That you know, I'm sure. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Says, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. Some to be apostles or special messengers. Some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries. And some pastors, shepherds of his flock and teachers. Why did he give these gifts? What was his intention in giving them? Well, we like to stop there at verse 11 and talk about the fivefold ministry and the gifts of the ministry, but why? We need to keep moving to verse 12 that says, his intention was for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, that is, the church. What is the work of the ministry? Is it to have a wonderful worship team? Is it to have a beautiful, gorgeous, inviting building? Is it to have the best preacher in town? No. No. The work of the ministry is reconciling a lost and dead world unto a God that can save them. Amen. That is the work of the ministry. Lost souls is the work of the ministry. Now, are all these things bad? No, they're not bad. But they are not the focus. They're not the focal point. We, you, and me, someone say, I am the church. With Christ working through us, are to change this world. That is the work of the ministry. The world was separated from God and now it is reconciled back to God through Christ in us. Christ in us. Not through us. Through Christ in us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll be closing here shortly. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and let's start in verse 16. It says, consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Therefore, everybody knows this scripture. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them, and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ in this earth. You think about our government, the ambassador to Russia. Do you think that man, I believe it's a man, it could be a woman, I'm sorry, I don't know. Do you believe that person in the natural, in Russia, has any power to do anything whatsoever in and of himself? But when he is an ambassador, a personal representative of the United States, with all the power of the United States at his disposal, do you think he has power to make changes or to get things done then? That is us in the earth. We, in and of ourselves, have no power to do anything. But when we work with Jesus, when we are his representative, his ambassador in this earth, we have the full power of Jesus behind us as his ambassador in this earth. The Lord working with them, they were able to do mighty signs and wonders. That's why I'm saying I'm changing my whole approach on when I pray for people or speak to people. It's not what Todd can do in all my knowledge of the Scripture. No, it is the Lord working through me and with me and the Holy Spirit prompting me to say something that will impact you or change your mind or your life. Amen? We are working on His behalf or in representation of Him, Christ. How can we do this, you ask? We are mere mortals. Mere mortals. Turn to Acts. And I'll close with this. Chapter 1. Excuse me. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. It says, In the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, the special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, placed in, or introduced into the Holy Spirit." So when they were assembled, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods, or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed. He is fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But, and here's the point. You shall receive power. You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." So how do we do this? How do we carry this out? How do we be powerful ambassadors for Christ in this earth? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are called to be witnesses, to reconcile this earth, this lost world, back to God. And how do we do that? With the power of the Holy Spirit. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in the power of Todd. Not in the power of Kenneth Copeland. Not in the power of Billy Graham. In the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, that Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. He has made, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you rely on God, He has sent His Holy Spirit to reveal all truth to us, to lead and guide us in all things. So when you trust in the Holy Spirit and hear from Him, that is where the power to be a witness in this world is. It's the Lord working with you. The Lord working with you. Amen?
Amen.
Power to be witnesses in this earth. And what a better witness than when your coworkers are in legitimate fear about something. You can say, I know a God in whom there is no fear. I know a God in whom you can trust and rely on that will bring peace to your heart, peace to your situation. Not ignoring the fact that things are happening. Tribulations are going to come. Trials are going to come. But do you know the one who can walk through the fire with you? Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was there in the midst with them. And they came out of the fire on the other end, not even smelling of smoke. Their garments not even singed by the fire. This is who we are. This is who the church is called to be. To stand up, believe, operate in faith. Not give in to the deceitfulness and the lies of the enemy. But believe every word of God. And don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Amen?
Amen.
Are y'all encouraged today?
Yes.
I pray that you are. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of you is sharing these truths with you to make them evident and real in your life. Real, so real that you can stand boldly. Stand boldly in these times of trouble and say, I am not moved. I am not moved. He is my God, and in Him I will trust and rely on and lean on, and I will reside and live under His wings in the shadow of the Almighty. And as I do these things, then I have benefits that are mine, that I claim to be mine. And I'll share them with whomever the Holy Spirit prompts me to share them with. To whomever crosses my path, to whomever a door is opened, I will walk through that door with boldness to be a witness for Christ in this earth. That is being the church. That is what we do as a church. We don't gather together in meetings just to hear a word, listen to some music. No, we are the church in the world, wherever we go. That is what we are called to be. Amen?
Amen.
Well, glory to God. I hope you're encouraged today. I hope that you can take these things with you and apply them. Listen, it's like the sower. Scattering seed It's got to go into good ground, because if not, the enemy's going to come and steal it as soon as you walk out the door. Or if there's no root in you, it's going to fall on the rocky place, and it's going to be scorched by the sun and wither. Right? Or you're going to allow the cares of this world to choke it out of you. But no, let it be planted in good ground. Let it be planted in good ground. And like Gene said this morning, well, we have to prepare the ground. Amen. And I believe prayer is part of preparing the ground. You need to be praying. Listen, it's just conversation with God. It says, ask him with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to him with thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word that has gone forth today. Holy Spirit, seal these words to our hearts today. Let them bind and be a part of us. Let us take your word everywhere we go. Let us be a living light shining in a dark world. And let people see the light and know there is a difference, because we are a peculiar people called out from the world. So let them see that difference and question us and approach us. Let us be approachable so that they will come and feel comfortable in asking us questions, seeing a difference in our life. But let us be different. Let us stand out among the world because of our boldness for Christ, because of what we believe, because of our position and our stance. Unwavering, not doubting. Let us be the church that you called us to be. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen and amen.